Welcome to Leaping Into Leadership, the go-to podcast for emerging corporate leaders like you, finding their footing in the dynamic world of management. I'm your host, Maggie, leadership and business coach, here to guide you to discover and manifest your true greatness as a leader through quick and actionable strategies. So hit that subscribe button, grab a refreshment, and join me. Let's make your transition into leadership less daunting and more rewarding, one episode at a time. Today, I had the pleasure of speaking with Lauren Glynn. She is a seasoned leadership strategist specializing in guiding female leaders through the unique challenges of imposter syndrome, confidence building, and effective communication. With a rich background in coaching and consulting for Fortune 500 companies like Apple, Whole Foods, as well as federal agencies, Lauren has honed her expertise in the specific pain points that impact a new leader's success. Through her Leading with Confidence Blueprint program, Lauren equips emerging female leaders with tailored strategies to overcome self-doubt, cultivate unwavering confidence, and foster productive team dynamics so they can advance their careers and create productive, happy teams. We're talking about how to manage up and how to propel your career forward. Enjoy. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me here, Maggie.
Yeah, of course. So I'll get right into it. What's your love language?
It's a really hard one. I think acts of service would be my love language. I'm also divorced. So apparently my ex-husband never figured out my love language, which is why I'm now divorced. But aww. I think it would be acts of service would be mine if I had
me
to pick
too.
One.
I'm also quality time is my second one.
All right. See, I think after being alone for so long, I don't want quality time. I want to be on my own and have my own quality time at this point.
Well, it's important to have me time.
Yes. And I have lots of it now. So it's wonderful.
So how does that carry over into what makes you, you?
So I think that I also like to perform acts of service. I like to help people, probably to my detriment sometimes, but I really enjoy sort of supporting people and helping them figure out what they need. And it kind of carries over into every other aspect of my life, and then also kind of creates expectations for other people in my life to do acts of service, which is maybe not fair to them. But that's sort of how it kind of integrates in my world, I guess.
Awesome. So I know we talked before about how people don't need a specific title to be a leader. Can you tell me about your experience in stepping up as a leader, even though you didn't hold that manager title?
Sure. So I have never held a manager, like you said, never held a manager title. I have done a lot of leading by influence. Mm-hmm. So I have done, a lot of business analysts, scrum master, and coaching roles. And in a lot of those roles, I was required to lead the team without having the title. And so what that means to me, or what it meant to me, was, stepping up and showing the team that I support them, making sure that they're not being sort of inundated with outside influences, helping them figure out what it is that they should be focusing on in conjunction with their actual team leader. And so it's kind of that balancing act. And it's a hard balancing act to figure out, like, how do I get people to do what I kind of need them to do mm-hmm. without being their actual manager. So I have held a lot of those roles where I am a leader, but not a manager. So it's definitely a balancing act.
Yeah, it sounds like that is the main challenge. How do you get someone to listen to you without having that authority in a way to be able to say, hey, I need you to do this? What advice would you give a new professional or any professional navigating in this world?
And it's all about getting people on board with you. It's helping them to understand that you're not doing this just to be a jerk. You're not doing this because, it's fun for you. You're doing it because everybody benefits from it, whatever the case may be. For example, when I was a scrum master, a lot of my responsibility was getting the team to focus on the highest priority work. And so by working with them so that they understood why the work was high priority, why we were focusing on it right now, that helped them to see, okay, I understand why she's asking me to do this, why it's important. So having the team sort of get on the same page with you, explaining your why, you know, just if you, as if you were a leader with a title, it's kind of the same thing. But having the team go along with you and understand sort of where you're coming from makes a huge difference in pretty much everything you do, both as a leading without authority and as an actual leader. You can't just tell them to do it. So having them understand why you're actually doing it and what the importance is, what the value is, especially for them, like what's the benefit to them, that I find makes a huge difference working with teams that way.
It sounds like it's all about setting clear expectations with the people you work with, as well as having that translated among maybe the leaders as well.
Yeah, making sure that everyone's on the same page. You know, whoever the leader of the team is has to understand the why and articulate it. And then you, in that role without that authority, has to also be able to understand and articulate about it. And that can be really challenging, especially in those larger organizations where, you know, you may not agree with what the organization is doing. You may not agree with what leadership is doing. But if you have to get the team along with you, then you have to tell them why it's happening, why the decision has been made, why you're going in that direction.
Being on the same page is super important.
Yes.
What would you say to the professional who just transitioned into their new leadership role? Or maybe they're a professional in a similar scenario as you, where you are, you know, leading without the authority, and you're constantly frustrated with those unclear expectations from their supervisors. How do you manage up in those situations?
Yeah. And I think managing up also goes along with, you know, being on the same page. It's all part of the same sort of idea. And for me, you know, helping my teams to manage up really consisted of how do you filter that information so that it make sense to the people above you? And how do you ask the right questions of the people above you so that you can be on the same page with them? Because not everyone learns in the same way. Not everyone communicates in the same way. So it's really important that you work a process or a system with the people above you and the people that are reporting to you or on your team that you're leading without authority, that you all are on the same page about how you want to communicate, what communication looks like, how frequently it should be communicated, and what level of communication is important. For example, when you're managing up, you want to make sure that you're managing at the right level of detail. Mm-hmm. Like CEOs, executives, they don't care about the minutia. They want to know what the big picture is for the most part. I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but you want to make sure that you're explaining the information in a way that's relevant to them so that they can make those connections in their brain to whatever it is that they're focusing on. So you want to make sure that your key metrics that are valid for them, you want to make sure that you're using visual aids if that helps for them to understand. You want to focus on those high level trends and outcomes rather than sort of getting bogged down in the details. And then at the same time, you want to make sure that you're working with them to understand what's important for them. What do they want to hear? What do they want to understand? What's valid for them? And so if you're getting sort of those mixed messages, you have to kind of work together to figure out, okay, what works for both of us? Where do we actually want to go with this?
If I was, I guess, one of the main leaders and I'm coming to you and saying, hey, why isn't this project moving along? What would you say in those instances to kind of get them to realize this is what's happening in the day to day that you're not seeing big picture wise?
If they're asking that kind of question, then you go to the level of detail that's necessary to help them to understand. The team is overloaded. We have too many things on our plate. We're not getting, you know, enough time to complete the work that we're doing. Here's the list of things that we're expected to do. You know, you can go into that level of detail if it's necessary to prove your point, you know, if that's the kind of question that they're asking. So it really depends on kind of what the information is that they're looking for as to how you want to present it. But if they're asking that kind of question of that specificity, like why is the team not getting their work done? Yeah. You may have to go into the level of detail of here's all the things that we're being expected to do. Here's the things that we're able to accomplish in a day. So we're not able to get there, you know, figuring out what information is going to support your argument, but not overwhelm them at the same time. Like I said, it's a balancing act, figuring out kind of what's valid and what's, you know, too much information.
How would you navigate or say it in a way where it doesn't sound like you're complaining? Because for me, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, so I'll just do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just put on my big girl panties and just do what they say, because I don't want to be that person to be saying, well, these are my excuses, or air quotes excuses, as to why I couldn't deliver on something that they asked for.
And, you know, I think I hate to bring gender into it, but it's always, you know, right there in the background. But that's a female thing. You know, we feel like by bringing things up, we're complaining. Whereas a man would just say, this is the problem and this is what's happening. But we feel like we're complaining because that's kind of how we've been taught.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of need to get over that idea of, oh, me pointing out problems is me complaining. There's, you know, different ways you can frame it to say, like, I know that that we didn't make our, you know, quarterly goals, so we can't hire more people. But the reality is that we're not meeting, you know, you can explain it away, you know, like we talked about at the very beginning, talk about why is it happening? Why do you think that this problem is going on, so that it doesn't come across as you not seeing the big picture and you not understanding why these things are happening. If you can be empathetic to, and I say that loosely because sometimes leadership's hard to be empathetic with. If you can be empathetic to why problems are happening and help them understand that you understand, I think that helps, you know, make it seem like you're not just complaining or not complaining. You understand the big picture, but you are still experiencing these problems and what are we going to do about it? You know? So I think it's partly a mindset thing and partly a framing thing.
What else can new leaders do to propel their careers forward once they kind of master this piece of their leadership role?
So I think developing the people around you is really important. Like, your job as a leader is to develop the people around you and turn them into whatever they want to be. If they want to be leaders, help them figure out what it is that they need to learn. If they don't want to go into a leadership role, then help them figure out kind of what the next steps are for them. Do they want to learn a new skill? Do they want to move into another department? You know, don't be trying to hoard resources to yourself of, well, this person's really good at their job, so I don't want to help them get to the next thing. That does not make you a good leader. It does not make you someone that people want to work for. And they're going to leave one way or the other if that's how you're treating them. So, so I think developing the people around you is sort of that next level of leadership. And it's really a requirement to be a good leader, is understanding the people around you, helping them figure out where they want to go, and helping them get there however you can, and not being sort of that dragon hoarding all the gold and all the good resources that you have. Because if you're a good leader, you can develop more good resources.
That reminds me of a leader I work with in my role right now, where she wants to hoard all these people because she's put in the work to develop them to this point, but then knowing that other departments or people in the company start poaching those people out of her department, she has to start over every time. What would you say to her? Because she's very frustrated about, now I have to train someone again. What advice would you have for her?
Sure. So I would tell her, hey, look, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're developing these people really well. It's a good thing that you're getting recognized in the company for developing people really well. People know that people coming from your team are highly trained. They know what they're doing. They're go-getters. You know, that's a good thing. And it's good for her because her higher ups will see, like, hey, she's able to develop these people. You know, maybe we should move her up. Maybe we should move her to a different department. Maybe we should do something to, you know, use these skills that she has. So I would try to help her understand that it's a good thing that she has good people. I know it's frustrating to training new people and teaching them again, but she should look at it as an opportunity to also develop her leadership skills of, how do I get to the point where new people on my team get ramped up quickly, can do their jobs at a really high level, so that I can get back to doing the strategy and the things that I enjoy and the things that I should be focusing on. So it's an opportunity for her to develop her leadership skills of developing people, and it's an opportunity for her to be seen and appreciated by her management. So I think it's, you know, multifold benefits for her.
Last question before we wrap up. Which unconventional animal do you wish you could have as a pet?
Oh, as a pet. That's a difficult one. I think a llama, which I guess isn't that unconventional, but I don't know, for some reason, I just would love to have a llama. I know that they are not super friendly all the time, so I don't know that I would want to pet it or anything, but I don't know. I just love the looks of llamas. And for some reason, I was doing pottery a few years ago and I was just putting llamas in all my things because I just thought they were such a cool looking animal. If I'm going to be looking at it through the window, then it should be cool looking.
I mean, Napoleon Dynamite had one.
Yeah, so there we go. I've never seen that movie. I might have to go watch it now. Yes. Yeah, it was like right at my age level and I just never went and saw it.
Oh, good for you. Because maybe you shouldn't, you don't need to see it at that age.
Maybe.
Well, if my audience wants support, how can they work with you?
Sure. So I have a couple of different ways that they can reach out. If they are interested in maybe learning more from me, working with me one-on-one, they can go to laurenglynn.com/discovery and they can apply for my Leading with Confidence blueprint. If you put leaping or leaping podcast in the how did you find me, then they will get 10% off of their coaching. And I also have a free guide, Shattering the Glass Ceiling, 5 strategies for leading in male-dominated spaces. Very important these days with our female leaders. You can go to laurenglynn.com/glass to download that. That one is totally free because all us women leaders need help.
Oh, yes. And I'll link all that in the show notes. And if they're just interested in finding you on some kind of social media platform, how can they connect with you?
Sure. So my main platform is LinkedIn. So I'm at linkedin.com/in/Lauren Glynn.
Amazing. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for spending time with me this morning. I hope we talk soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me today. If you found value in this episode or podcast, do me a huge favor. Rate and review the show on your podcast app of choice. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at Leaping Into Leadership Podcast. If you know a new leader who could use support, share the episode or podcast with them. Let's do what we can to set our new leaders up for success.